Sponsored by vivagreen-greensax.com, compostable bags for home and garden.
103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. 103.2 Dublin City FM. It is The Sod Show, brought to you in association with Greensax, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet at vivagreen-greensax.ie. With us this afternoon, as always on The Sod Show, has he ever missed one? Yeah, we've excluded him from a few shows, but it's Peter Donegan. Hello, Peter.
Brian, how are you, mate? Good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, and yeah, good to hear yours. It was a quick week, but packed with lots of work and a good old mix of Irish weather. Four seasons in 1 week. Where else would you get it but on the western seaboard of the Atlantic coastline of Ireland?
Yeah, Brian, it's been a mixed bag of weather. I think the start of the week was a little bit all over the place. And to be honest with you, it's look, for anybody who's into horticulture, we've said this before, in Ireland, not in the Bahamas, you get kind of used to just getting on with the program, and that's literally what it's all about. It just makes life that little bit more interesting. And sure, look, if everything was plain sailing, and again, to use the cliche, a bit dicky rock, or for those across the water, Cliff Richard, it mightn't be as exciting and or interesting. And there you go, there you are.
If you're on Twitter during the programme, you can always tweet us at Sodshow. We look forward to your tweets. But let's go right back to the end of last week's programme and pick up on something we didn't have time to delve into. And the conversation was delving towards... Delving is a word, isn't it? It is a word. It was going towards DIY. And that as an alternative to, we were discussing the virtues and the wherewithal and the how-tos to engage a landscape gardener. But now we're going to look at, well, you know what? Do it yourself, right? And I'm going to pose a kind of a question, hopefully not too long of a question, but are we saying do DIY to save money on not getting a landscape gardener, or what is the virtue for doing DIY?
Oh, wow. Interesting question, Brian. Interesting question. Let me put a couple of scenarios down first. Number one, I would never replumb my own house. I'm okay at changing taps, and I can make Ella's bed, and I can do things with my hands that are of wood. That's banned, and it takes me an elongated period of time, and I'm a very calculated fellow behind the scenes. And I have very good friends who are civil engineers. So on the back of a beer mat at 2 o'clock in the morning, sometimes in Brussels, I will be talking about cantilevering gardens off of such and such. And these guys would be able to tell me how it's done and that my thinking is correct and that it's all possible. Pause all that. You're in the computer business. So let's analogize this. I go build my own website. I'm a good end user. The question I guess I'll put back to you is, how good do you think my first attempt at building my own website would be in comparison to you, who has done it for the last 15-20 years, let's say?
And I, not even a designer, because I'm more the maintenance kind of code person, but your first website would be, there's a term in the web industry called bud ugly. It would be pretty damn awful. It wouldn't be presentable to the public, and you would lose clients if you showed it to anyone.
But I'd be able to build one myself, is what I'm saying to you. Like, I would be able to build it. It just wouldn't be as good as somebody who's doing it every single day, logically speaking, for the last 20... Oh, hold on, cup of tea, deadly. I seem to get this. I get this. I tell my clients when I'm doing this program, it's a half an hour out of the day, and it's a Friday, and they know it. So this is two Fridays on the trot. I've got a cup of. Normally, I wouldn't take one, but yeah, it wouldn't be great. Logically, it can't be comparable. So, to break this down, Bobby Brown, for those listening, under no circumstances am I award-winning, super duper, and all those things parked to one side. Under no circumstances am I saying that one should not go out and try and attempt in any way to build their own gardening. Gardening is supposed to make you smile. It's supposed to make you happy. It's supposed to be brimmed with laughter. It's supposed to be giggles. You're supposed to enjoy. You might say make the mistakes, and the conversation is more. Again, we're back to Peter in the pub talking to the two civil engineers. That's the conversation and the crack and the banter about how Peter misunderstood it. Maybe. Kind of in a Pythagoras' theorem kind of way, that's nearly more what it's about than the actual doing it, if that makes any sense to you. So by all means, for anybody listening to this, do go out and attempt to make your own garden if that's what you want to do. However, the comparison that we had pre this conversation, so pre getting on air, was that if you're going to do your own garden to save yourself money, then that's the bit where I'll turn around and say, well, end result built by, let's say, Peter Donegan in this case, or end result built by our stereotypical housewife or house dad, who's Mary McGinnity or Michael McGinnity, if you think you're going to end up with as high a standard finish and save yourself money along the way, then you're probably mistaken.
Okay, let me just...
What we're saying.
Yeah, let me just stop you there. I can hear people at home or in their cars listening to Dublin City FM or listening to us on podcast on their earbuds, and they're saying, well, he would say that because he's a landscape gardener. And I'm going to put it to you on our analogy to the websites is that I would say, I can hear you saying, do the DIY. You're not saying don't do it, but you're saying do it for the right reasons. And using the website analogy, if someone says to me, I'm going to build it myself, I'll say do it, but don't do it to build yourself your website and save money and not give it to me. Do it so that you learn the code, so that, like that parable from the Bible, that you teach a man to fish and he'll eat for life. Learn the code, go down to the roots of it, to the basics, and build up your skills bit by bit, and in time become a master of your domain. Is that what we're talking about?
To an extent. So let's go back again, because you know I'm older now. I'm kind of late 30s kind of thing at this stage of the game. But at 5 years of age, I knew what phototropism and geotropism was. So it's one thing for a plant to explain photo, obviously being of camera or light. But in phototropism, when it leans towards light, as a five-year-old, I didn't have a problem with a plant leaning towards the light. I wanted to know why, and it was why did it do that, and therefore, how do you almost auto-correct it? Equally, geotropism, and I hear people saying if you plant a bulb the wrong way around, you know, you should plant it the right way up. Geotropism will explain to you that there is no right and no wrong way. The plant will literally, the top of the plant will go north and the bottom of the plant will always go south. It is that understanding that has kind of guided me through life. It's explained to me how I dwarf a plant naturally in its own surroundings because of photosynthesis. And again, we're back to that photo word of light and plants making their own energy. And if you reduce the light, you reduce the energy to the plant, so you almost dwarf it, or you slow down its growing process. And that, I don't want it to sound overly technical, but at the same token, again, we're back to that coding thing, and we're back to that understanding, and the understanding of how, and even down to plants' names. And before you get into plants' names, it's something that we said last week. The reality is, before you go and build any garden, and again, park it, we also said last week, if you want to build a patio, go build a patio. But to go to the left-hand side, which is the creative bit, the question is, how will that make you feel? And big time, how does it make you feel? Will it make people turn around and stay longer in your garden? Will it make people feel romantic? Will it make them love you more? Is it a wedding garden? Is it a garden for laughing your head off? Or is it just so you can turn around and say, I'm okay at building patios? And building a patio is a long way, far away from a very beautiful garden. A house you arrive into at 1 o'clock and you phone your wife at 5:10 or 4:10, and you say, sorry, darling, I got late. And in reality, what happens, you just stayed too long. You forgot time. And that's what a good garden should do. So that's what it is. It's not about, this is, again, double underline it, this isn't about turning people away from trying it or trialing it. It's about just getting the right mentality, you might say, behind it.
Can I just check with you then, when you answered that question back at the start, you went all technical. So I'm just trying to go, was that to kind of put people off, or why were you going all technical? What was the point behind that?
Because at 5 years of age, Brian, that's where my brain was. I was literally that troubled.
But bring it back to the DIY person. What would, you know, technical to them, like they're not at that level. Where do they go, to begin? Is it down to the library as a, you know, a 5 or 6 year old? Is it in books? Where do they get it?
That's probably the bit where doing it yourself is a little bit. There's a couple of things, first of all, and a lot of the landscapers will empathise with me on this one. The biggest, worst phone call that I would ask people not to make is ringing garden designers, inverted commas, or landscapers to get some ideas. That, please don't do that. You're only wasting your own time, and what's in my head will never work out on paper if you try and rob the idea or borrow the idea or take it. And people do that with websites, and they do that with gardens in
particular.
You're right,
as well. I'm nodding, they do. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's the first thing. If you want advice and you want your garden done and you cannot come up with a concept to suit you, your family, of what works and what doesn't, down to the lighting, down to the whatever the case may be, where you should put the sunken trampoline, where you should put the patio, what colour, why, because of the nature of the surroundings, the backdrop that you have, so that your plants tie in and they don't clash with the patio, or they don't come up as the same stone, so that your budgets match all the way through, and your build time schedules also all work. That's the point where I would ring, and again, I can only refer to myself as versus anybody else, but that's where you pick up the phone and say, Peter, hi, we'd like to pay for your time. Can you come down to us for a half a day? We don't want a full garden design, but we'll take your free doodles on the back of a cigarette pack or the back of an A4 pad, and at least then we have an outline of where to position everything and why. And if we need any help, can we come back to you? And we're willing to do this ourselves. That's probably the first point where I'd start, if you want to go and get it done properly. Now, equally, you may be extremely creative. And if you're extremely creative, again, we would say, me and you would say, listen, go for broke, by all means, do the garden. I've done my own garden 3 times. There is no problem with that. It is all good fun. But I don't play golf. And I also go camping on my holidays in the middle of apple orchards in Tipperary. So, for me, yeah, jeepers, as long as I'm outside.
And
you know?
Listeners might notice that I'm not being easy on you today. I'm actually being quite hard. So that was something they should not do, is they should not pick up the phone and pick your brain. But what should a DIY starter do? Where should they turn to? Where is it? Magazines? Is it books? Is it watch television programs for a few years? Where do they get it?
If I'm honest with you, again, first things first, start with a feeling. What do you want it to feel? Do you want to entertain in it? Yeah, you do. Do you want to entertain for, you know, do you work in the hotel industry? Is the last thing that you want to do when you come home after chefing it all night long in the kitchen, to come home and make dinner for 14 people? Probably not. So a smaller patio area, grand, okay. Well, if you want to save money, well, then pick out the table and chairs first and build the patio area to exactly suit that. And now you're probably on a ball runner. So what you do is you make a list of, you want an area for the kids, grand, subsection, what do we want? Do you want a sunken trampoline? Do you want a set of swings? We can't fit a set of swings in because of the swing dimensions, and so that little Jimmy doesn't bang his head off the wall when he swings back, because that's what he's going to do when he gets the air under his legs. And you go all the way through. Then you get to the adult area. What kind of style, lighting, fitting, plants do you want? A herb garden? Are we really going to garden that? And this is another thing that came in. And again, no offence to the DIY crew, you know, but if you're going into the grow it yourself, are you really going to go home and spend, is it farming, let's say, or is it a wee little kitchen garden? And again, a big difference between the two. So you got to be a little bit honest with yourself. But the other thing, Brian, as we well talked about so many times before, is that the garden project that I'm working on at this moment in time, it's going to take 12 days to build this garden that I'm on. There are 4 men working on that garden full-time, 5 days a week plus 2. That's 48 days. So if you work for a living, logically speaking, you have a kind of a 9 to 5 or a leaving at 7:45 in the morning to beat the traffic, to get home at maybe 6:30. Bear in mind, we're still dark till 5:15 and you want your garden for the summer. You probably only got a Saturday. Considering you might want to watch a bit of the FA Cup, and Arsenal last weekend beating Middlesbrough 2-0, you might want to watch a little bit of that. And if that's the case, 48 days of a build, is pretty much 48 weeks, assuming that you have dry weather every single day of the year. It's probably the bit where, if you talk to myself and Anthony McGuinness, I've no problem writing my own blog or changing a couple of widgets on the side of it. But as regards the behind the scenes bit, that coding bit, that making that website work, making it people being able to maybe find it and where to put the thing, I have not got a breeze. I can change the channel, but I cannot build a television set.
Peter, that has well explained it to me and hopefully the listeners. I think we're going to go for Song of the Week now. And over on Twitter during the week, Kerry Gordon was in touch asking who picks the songs for the Sod Show. And she wondered, was it Katrina? And I had to say, well, mainly it's me. But it made me think, Katrina never picks the songs. So to fix that, I've asked her to pick a song of the week for this week. And if it's a good song, maybe we'll let her pick again. That sounds awful. But if it is, and it is, I think it is. And it's...
Has she picked it yet?
She has. Right. It's a song called Long Shot from Newton Faulkner.
It's all there underneath, everything we'll ever need, you and I.
Newton Faulkner and Long Shot, as chosen by our very own Katrina Redmond. You dark horse, Katrina. You old hippie, you. Yes, now we know what you're into musically. I think we had a clue from before, but now we really know. That is lovely. Peter, what do you think?
Didn't hear it, Brian. Sorry, got distracted. I was looking at plants, trees, to be quite honest with you. But I won't get it on podcast either, so I guess I'll have to go to plug in brackets. Sodshow.com and try and find the link for the Song of the Week this week.
Yes, we'll make the music available in the show notes at sodshow.com. While we're on the website, we just jump to Twitter and I'll talk with you, Peter, about some contacts we've had during the week. And Garden Trail have been in touch, the West Cork Trail, and they say that they're 21 years old this year, plans afoot for a fun birthday. Help us celebrate with a slot on the Sod Show.
Yep, we're actively looking at that. I think there was a, it's probably of note for those who also want to be on the Sod Show, and we'll sidetrack off just a little bit here, because invariably come June bank holiday weekend, which we all know is Bloom bank holiday weekend in Ireland, I guarantee you I'll probably get 5 or 6 requests 1 week beforehand, and we're already going to be booked up for that. It's a funny thing, when the sun shines, let's do it today, let's call the Sod Show and we'll get on Friday. It kind of doesn't work that way. So West Cork Garden Trail, my applause and hats off to you, my many hats. I have a couple of hats, but for getting in touch now to air, let's say in 2-3 months time, it's a very wise decision. Recording some interviews, depending on geographic location, is the first priority, and obviously airing it then is the second one, you know, because we like to keep things a little bit fresh if we're not doing what we're doing now, which is basically having a chat. So we'll hopefully have them on the show soon.
Okay, so this is a tweet from me, but it is kind of important. I've renumbered the shows here on the Sod Show, so I was working to number 85 on my return to my second stint on the Sod Show, which now has become show number 196 last week. It was World Radio Day last Friday, and this is show number 197, which means we're going for the magic 200 in a couple of weeks' time.
Holy crap, we're old, Brian. We're freaking old. That's what we are.
That's 4 years in the middle of March sometime. We say hello to loads of people who followed us this week, and thanks for the follows. The furthest afield would be Cyworm, at Cyworm, as in Science Worm, in Melbourne, Australia. My God, people just listen to the podcast far and wide.
Yeah, but we've had a couple of guys on from Oz already. I think we had the we had their television show on, the Garden Gurus, and I think we've had 3 of our garden centres on already. So it kind of doesn't surprise me, you know. And we're also very popular and good looking.
Patrick Fox, who was mentioned on last week's programme, said, great to get a mention on the Sod Show today. I'm still removing the thorns from my hands. No turning back now at Donegan Gardens.
Yeah, I'm reminded of that tune for the Fairy Liquid ad. I'm hesitant to sing about the now hands are too
I'll sing it.
Oh God, go for it.
For hands that do dishes feel soft as your face. Mild green, fairy liquid.
Yeah, great jingle. Reminds me of Charlie Sheen from Two and a Half Men for some reason or another. Yeah. That's the worst rendition of that song, Brian, I've ever heard in my life. But God bless your cotton socks.
Well, it can end. Brian Green, fairly liquid.
Yeah, okay. We're back to this analogy of hired a professional wedding singer rather than trying to save a few bob and singing at your own, aren't we? A little bit that,
yeah. Go on.
Yeah, hey, so, come here. You were at Q yesterday. We're not going to talk about that today, though.
No, you're going to have to hold it over till next week when it's all edited down. But you know, it's something special. Let's say no more. Next Friday. Brian Green with microphone in Kew Gardens, London.
And I may not be on the show, that means.
No.
No, will you miss me?
Yes.
Yeah, you will in your eyes.
If you want to hear a fish out of water in a kind of the mecca of horticulture, tune in next week at 3 o'clock. Don't miss it.
Yeah, but hold on a sec, Brian. I'll be dead honest with you. If I was a garden society or a horticultural society, you are exactly the type of person I'd want to have coming to see my gardens in this particular case, Q, because normally what happens is you end up with dudes like me saying words like phototropism or photosynthesis, which is a little bit of a turn-off to some, not to everybody. For those who have a fetish for botanical Latin, maybe, I don't know, but you're the kind of guy that I'd want to have come through my gardens on the one hand, and equally, I'm also the kind of guy that you want to have come through your gardens as well. If I was a Q or a Hort Society or a Gardens in Ireland, I'd be inclined to get Brian to do one visit through and Peter to see another visit through, and I guarantee you, you'd have two very, very different listenerships coming on to catch each one, and I guarantee you'd probably have two different styles of visitors walking through Q, one looking at something and the horticulturalist turning around saying, what is your man doing over there staring at that thing when we have these long botanical Latin named plants standing over here to my right hand side. You are what it's all about. And again, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier on, which is get out into the garden, smile, break your pants laughing, bounce up and down on the grass for no apparent reason, do it yourself.
We are running out of time, but if you were to DIY your own garden, what should you be sticking in the ground plant or tree-wise? What sort of trees, and is it the time to be putting trees into the ground?
Twofold and a two-answer parter to that, Brian. Number one, people say that the tree season runs from approximately, let's say, late October until about Feb or so. It does, and again, that only refers to the root bald. Bare root planting. And to clarify that, if you're unsure, if you were to buy an apple tree and plant it in your garden in July, it would come in a plastic pot. If it's in a plastic pot, it's absolutely fine. So it only refers to certain trees, to be very, very frank and honest. That's the first thing. So to side off what you should be doing in your garden at this moment in time, number one, I cut my grass last week. Number two, you can, in modern day horticulture, do anything you want at any point and time that you wish to do so. However, you may just save yourself a few bob doing it on the bare root or root ball trees. You might say some things that are seasonal. Equally for daffodil bulbs, you'd want to probably have done that last October. So for those who are looking at getting into their garden, let's just break this down, Bobby Brown, as I like to say, and we'll simplify it. Get out your pen and paper, write down all of the things that you like, all of the things that make you smile, as we noted last week. Chat to the family, decide what you want in the garden. If you want a patio, the colours that you like, the things that you like, don't worry about the plant names, just get the basics of it. Patio is one, lawn is the other, and then you naturally tend to bring in bits like privacy that you might require. If it's a children's play area, if it's a barbecue, whether you want it built in or not, or whatever the case may be, and you note down all the things that you want, and they are some of them. That's the first place that I would start. And then, as always, the greatest piece of advice is construction first. Always construction first. And then after that, you do the prettier, softer things. So plants are soft, bark mulch is soft, lawns are soft, and equally on the other hand, you have construction of barbecues, patios, gazebos, structures, furniture, all of that kind of thing is hard. Anything that's hard, you do that first, but map it out, plan it once, measure twice, cut once, only do it once, do it right. Do not go out and waste your money and try and save £2 buying something that looks totally pants. You wouldn't drive around on a broken down ladder.
Peter, guess what? Guess what? We've run out of time.
You have a broken down ladder?
No, we've run out of time again.
Lovely. Okay, so we're on to ladders. Is the queue in for next week, apart from queue?
Okay, he's at Donegan Gardens on Twitter. I'm at Brian Green, and we are at Sod Show. Katrina Redmond, she's at Wholesome IE, and we're back next Friday at 3 o'clock, where I'll be talking orchids in Kew Gardens, London, United Kingdom. Until then, goodbye.